But now we turn congregation to God's Word, and I have two short passages to read this morning, relatively short, as we reflect upon the fifth commandment of God. And the first one is taken from Proverbs 6. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6, begin to reading there at verse 20. That passage that follows, that heading, Warning is Against Adultery, is indeed the title, and it is indeed what the passage is talking about, Warnings Against Adultery. But we'll be dealing with the fifth commandment, not the seventh commandment this morning. But the opening verses are very telling and very important to note. My son, verse 20 of Proverbs, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they, meaning the commandments of the Lord, will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Wonderful passage here, good to meditate upon. The blessings of God's commandments and living by them in accordance with their teaching. And now we turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to read here verses 1 through 4. It's in the context of Paul in the latter portion of this letter, as he does typically in his letters, giving practical instructions here for different persons in their relationships. And here we read about children and parents. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And these passages really are a commentary on the fifth commandment, which is our text for this morning, the fifth commandment of God's holy law. We read it earlier, and it's found in Exodus 20, verse 12. Let me read it for you now. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We return in the Forms and Prayers book at this point, then, to read what the Catechism has to say about this commandment in Lord's Day 39, and then towards the back of the booklet, if you will turn then to page 246, page 246 in the back portion of the Forms and Prayers booklet, and we will recite the answers in unison. We'll recite the answers together, as we've been commonly doing, going through the Catechism, and it has just one question, and so there's only one answer. Number 104, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. And God bless us as we meditate upon His Word and upon this commandment in particular, as we continue to study God's commandments for our lives. And this morning, congregation, we deal then with this fifth commandment. I would say probably that there's no institution in society that has undergone more change in the last half century than the institution of the family. And especially, I would say, in the last few decades, there is no institution of society that has been under greater stress and under more attack than the God-ordained family. It's like a ship on a storm-tossed sea. The family is being buffeted about and shaken by all kinds of winds and waves today. In fact, sometimes you're tempted to ask, what really is a family? And I know that you here know the answer, but that's no longer a given in our world today. As one family expert I read put it, a family today is whatever participants want to call it. When we think of a family, we typically think, of course, of a father and a mother and one or more children. Today, that would be labeled a traditional family. To be sure, a couple that is married but has no children could also be considered a family, as well as a couple whose children are no longer at home. As is true of many of us, empty nesters, as they're called, they're still a family as well. Or a single parent, whether a mother or a father with children, is a family too. But today, in our secular world, that definition of a family has expanded to include other kinds of relationships as well. Homosexual couples and lesbian couples today can now marry and are also deemed to be a family. And they can adopt children so that those children have two fathers or two mothers. That's a family by definition today. Indeed, sadly, public educators and teachers are teaching little children in school that having two mommies or two daddies is just as good as having a mommy and a daddy. In fact, the so-called traditional family is often derided today as being old-fashioned and archaic. You know, the television shows portray families today that are a far cry from the Leave It to Beaver show of times past. Indeed, there is a determined effort to undermine the traditional family today, even from a movement from the powerful LGBT lobbies and strident feminism, and now recently even the Black Lives Matter movement. Yet, as the latter organization, we may think is only talking about racial issues, is for racial equality. But you have to realize it has also a strong anti-Christian agenda. You just go to their website. Under their beliefs, it says this. I want you to listen to this. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. We foster, I'm quoting this here, we foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual, unless he or she or they disclose otherwise. In other words, what that's saying to us is that, you know, we don't believe in the traditional family anymore. That's a Western culture idea. We don't need fathers and mothers and children living together as the Lord has ordained. And by the way, Reverend John MacArthur, you've probably heard of him, has an excellent analysis of the Black Lives Matter movement on YouTube. You can just check out on our YouTube. He calls it basically a satanically motivated organization, and sadly, most people do not realize that. But let's turn now this morning to a divine commandment which offers God's blueprint for family life. And that's the fifth commandment of God's holy law, the Ten Commandments. And notice that this commandment stands as the first commandment in the second table of the law. Remember, God's law can be divided into two tables. The first table, comprising the first four commandments, all tell us how we should love the Lord our God above all else. And the second table instructs us that we must love our neighbors as ourselves. And God begins this second table of the law with the closest and most important neighbors that we have, that is our own family, by giving us this commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, what this commandment prescribes, first of all, is a basic pattern. And then secondly, it prescribes an important practice. And then thirdly, it offers a special promise. And so we'll look at each of those main points this morning, a basic pattern, an important practice, and a special promise. Yes, God, first of all, here prescribes a basic pattern or blueprint for family life. And that divine pattern or blueprint actually goes back to the time of creation, when God created the first human beings. You all know how God created them. First, note that He created a human pair. He created a man and a woman. God did not create single individuals, which He could have done, because after all, the angels whom He created even before He created humanity are all single individual beings. But in the case of man, God made a man and a woman, whom He brought together then as a husband and a wife. And so that's also the beginning of marriage, which is also then a creation ordinance or institution. God ordained for the man to be the head in that relationship, and for the woman to be the helpmeet for the man. But then God did not stop with creating a human pair, because then He gave a commandment to them in Genesis 1 verse 28, which reads, "And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now that's the beginning of family life. The family too is a creation institution. God wanted families to populate the earth. And if Adam and Eve, you know, had never sinned, this world would have been filled today with godly families. But even after the fall, God still designed for human society to be constituted of families, of parents and children. That's the pattern God ordained. The family continues to be the primary foundational unit of society, at least according to God's will. If that family structure is undermined or removed by sinners, it will undermine all of society. And we see that happening all around us. Without strong families, you can never have a good functioning social order. Without the family, you can't have an enduring nation. Without good families, Christian families, you can't have a strong church. The family, as God ordained it, is always going to be the backbone of earthly life and society in this world. Without it, life would be chaotic. When I just mentioned a moment ago the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm not implying that the lives of black families and individuals don't matter. They certainly do, as do our lives and the lives of persons of any race or of any color. But I heard a black speaker recently who made the most important point that the Black Lives Matter movement fails to see and even rejects. This man said emphatically that the most important need in black families today, in the black community today, is solid families with fathers and mothers rearing their children well. He said that's what's lacking. Millions of children, he says, of our children have no fathers at home who are guiding them, being raised by single mothers. They learn no respect for fathers or authority. And this person did not specifically speak about godly families in his comments, but I'm convinced that not only is he absolutely right, but that this is the most important need for people of any race, so of any kind. Good homes, and even more so Christian homes, are absolutely essential for a well-functioning society in any nation, among any people. Why? Because it's God's design. That's His blueprint for the human race. And just as a builder or as a contractor of a house or a commercial building or a bridge or a road, he needs to have a good blueprint if the project is to turn out the way it should. So people must follow God's blueprint for the family if our lives and society are to turn out well. It's noteworthy that the fifth commandment, after giving the command, honor your father and your mother, God added this, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And Paul in Ephesians 6 verse 3 mentions this promise too, to those who must obey this command. He says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And I'll say a little more about those promises in a little while in our third point. But this commandment then is necessary for our well-being, for the well-being of our lives and of our society and of humanity as a whole. It will always be the basic institution of society. Of course, now, that family then has to follow God's design, the way God gave it. A God-pleasing family needs a godly father as the head of that home. He must be a man who knows God, who loves God, who serves God, who leads and instructs his children to know, love, and serve God as well. He needs to teach them the way of salvation. He needs to hold before them that Christ is the only way of salvation. He must be a father who provides a good example and a good character for his children to emulate. As we read from Ephesians chapter 6, he must be wise in the exercise of his authority, not to use it abusively, which is why Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But then he does tell them this, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And then, of course, a good and godly family needs a God-fearing mother who also has been given authority over her children and is called to provide for them and to lead them as well by her instruction, by her example, as well as her care, her daily care for all of their various needs physically and spiritually. That's the critical way that she is the most important helpmeet to her husband. As we read in Proverbs 6, verse 20 this morning, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching, but bind them on your heart always. Great text to remember. And that brings me then to the role of children in the family. That also brings me to our second main point this morning. Having seen the basic pattern taught us here in this fifth commandment, let's consider the important practice that God prescribes here. And this is a practice specifically addressed to children. For it is to them that God says, honor your father and your mother. And so all you children here this morning, all you boys and girls here this morning, whatever your age may be, listen carefully now to what God is saying to you this morning. You are such an important part of your family. You're so special. You're so loved, no doubt, by your parents. But even more, as Christian children, you are special to God and loved by Him. That's why He wants you to listen to Him in a special way by having given you this commandment to follow. Honor your father and your mother. Now, how must you do that? Well, first listen again to what we read earlier in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 39, which asks this question, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? And here's the answer it gives, that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. Now, children, let me focus a moment on three words, three important words. They're very short, simple words, easy to remember. The first word is honor, honor. That's the first word in the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And I think most of you know what that word means. When you honor someone, it means you think highly of them. You show special respect to them. If you would ever be invited to shake hands with the president, that probably won't happen. But that would be a great honor, wouldn't it? Or even if it were a senator or a representative or a great athlete that you could meet personally, that would be an honor. Why? Because such people have a high position or they're famous for what they have accomplished. And you respect them for that. When a soldier dies who is serving his country, we give him special honor for his sacrifice. We show special respect for what he did. At a parade, you know, when a group of veterans goes by, we all stand up out of respect to our veterans, to those who served our country. They deserve our honor. Well, who deserves the most honor in your life, children? Who deserves the most honor in your life besides God. Because God always deserves our highest honor and respect. But who next? Your parents, your father, and your mother. God says, honor your father and mother. Because who has a greater influence in your life? Especially when you're growing up, than your parents. As God has given them a special role in your lives. The word honor means basically here to respect our parents. We must respect what they tell us. We must respect what they do for us. And certainly as children, we should never be mouthy or disrespectful to our parents. We may not always like what they tell us to do, but we must always respect them. You know, in the Old Testament, if a child cursed his father or mother, you know what? What God said, he had to be put to death. That's how severely God punished such disrespect. You see, if we disrespect our parents, it means we're challenging their position of authority that God has given them over us. In effect, that means we're disrespecting God's authority. Children who do not honor or respect their parents will also have difficulty respecting the authority of others, like of teachers or of policemen. In commanding children to honor their parents, God is teaching them to show respect for all those who are placed in authority over us. Now, to be sure, parents must be worthy of that honor and respect. I've already emphasized that fathers and mothers have to be godly in their roles, and they must never abuse their children by ungodly, harsh discipline, for example. Parents who abuse their children are acting foolishly and unchristianly, as many worldly parents do. They cannot even deserve to receive the respect of their children. But Christian parents, and even non-Christian parents who act decently, properly, must always be respected by their children. I've told parents in the past, I've said, well, you know, if your child disobeys some order that you gave or does something wrong, yes, you have to discipline them accordingly. But if they challenge your authority as a parent, if they say anything like, well, I don't have to do what you tell me to do, then you must firmly discipline them and insist on a change in their attitude, because you cannot function as a parent without receiving such respect. So children, you must honor and respect your parents. In fact, even when you're older, this is lifelong, even when they're out of the house, you must always honor them as your parents. And then there's another word, another practice which children are commanded to do with regard to their parents, and that's expressed in the simple word obey. Honor is an attitude, obey is an action. It's actually the product of honor and respect. The fifth commandment, as such, does not use that word obey, but the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 1 does. And he writes there to children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why is it right? It's right because it's the way God wants it, but also because it's good for a child, for his maturation, and for his happiness. A child who does not obey or is not expected to obey his parents, who is not given rules to follow, will become like a wild horse that isn't trained. A French officer once asked George Washington's mother how she had managed to raise such a splendid son. And you know, her short, simple answer was, I taught him to obey. Yes, obedience is a learning process for every child, because it is not inborn in a child or in anyone to obey and to do what is right. I know a little baby is so cute, so cuddly to hold, but any parent knows that it does not take long, or the seemingly innocent baby will not automatically do what you tell it or say. He or she needs to be taught obedience. It's a process that requires constant warnings and commands. But how important and necessary it is to shape the will of a child. Your obedience begins at home. Like respect, if it is not learned there, it will show its effects in children, how they respond when they get older, and are in other situations which require them to follow instructions or give obedience. And above all, learning obedience at home. By doing so, children will learn obedience to God. Obedience to God's own laws and commands. Because again, as children, as well as adults, you know, we must always struggle against that sinful nature which does not want to obey God, but only to do as we please. And so we must learn obedience in all of life. Of course, I know that there comes a time when a child must make his own decisions. When children are no longer under their parents' roof, when they get married and they have their own families, then they are no longer responsible to their own parents as far as obedience is concerned, and they're responsible for their own actions. Then hopefully they've learned the importance of obedience, so they will live according to God's will and obey His commands for their own desires. But to all of you younger children here this morning, let me say that to obey your parents, it's much better than if they let you do what you want to do. I know you may not always like their rules that they set. When they tell you a certain time, you've got to be in at night, for example, you have a curfew, or you can't do this or that. I realize that, but I assure you, you will always be the better for it. So honor your parents and obey them. And then the third key word, love them. That's another very simple word, but loaded with meaning. As the Heidelberg Catechism says, God's will in the fifth commandment is that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother. Yes, children, love your parents and be faithful to them. That means you must realize all that they do for you. Each day again, each week again, throughout the years, they care for you, they provide for you, they support you, they encourage you, they pay for your schooling or for your college tuition if they can. They would give their lives for you. And I'm talking about Christian parents in particular now. Yes, to be sure, they are not perfect. They have their failings, as the Catechism says. But even our perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, obeyed his parents when he was a child on earth. Remember that. He was obedient to them, it says, even though they were sinners, and he was perfect. And he loved them. Do you children ever say to your father and mother, thanks so much, Mom and Dad. You've done so much for me. You've given me everything that I need. You've taught me the truth about God and the way to be saved in Christ. Thank you. I love you. Why don't you say that today when you get home and you're sitting around the table for dinner, let's say, or at least say it in your prayer at bedtime tonight. Loving parents should never end. When you're young, you need them. And you're blessed by them in multitude of ways. When they get old, they may well need you in many and various ways. And then you can return their love by your deeds of love for them. Well, we've looked at the pattern of God's prescribes in the fifth commandment and the practice it prescribes for our children. And now let me end this morning by noting thoroughly the special promise attached to this commandment. Is it interesting and telling that this fifth commandment also includes a promise? No other commandment specifically does so, although God does say at the end of the second commandment, or the first and second commandments, that he will show his steadfast love to thousands of those who love him and keep his commandments. I think that's more a general assurance of God's blessing on those who abide by all of his commandments. But Ephesians 6 verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, and then it adds, this is the first commandment with a promise. With a promise. That is, this commandment has a special promise attached to it. And exactly what is that promise? Well, verse 3 of Ephesians 6 continues, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And Paul here is freely quoting what God said in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5. In Exodus 20, verse 12, God appends to the fifth commandment the words that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, Moses puts that promise in this way, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Notice that really there is a double promise here. One part of the promise is that those who obey God's command to honor their parents will live long in the land. In the case of the Israelites, that they would live long in the land of Canaan, which God was about to give them. And in the case of God's people today, they would enjoy long life on the earth. Now, it's often asked, is that really true? Will those who honor their parents always experience a long life? Then what about the children who died young and yet who honored their parents? Well, I believe that God had a special purpose for taking such young children at a tender age or others who don't attain many years of age. It may well have been a special blessing for them, such as if they were afflicted with a painful disease or had a very difficult disability. In any case, God took them then to his eternal land, and sooner than their parents even perhaps. He gave them an even better blessing than long life on the earth. Nevertheless, the promise of God in this commandment holds true in a general way. Those who honor their parents will receive his blessing on earth, and part of that blessing will be a longer life. Because over against them, those who refuse to honor their parents, those who refuse to heed God's other commandments, who end up living troubled lives, who rebel against God and rebel against authorities, who maybe fall into patterns of crime, and often, as you know well, their lives are tragically cut short. As Proverbs 10, verse 27 states, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." Yes, obedience to God yields his blessing, including not only a long life, but the second part of God's promise also holds true. If we honor our parents, it will go well with us in the land that the Lord has given us. That is, God will bless us. Remember that, children and young people. If you want a happy life, if you want a good future, good relationships with your parents and others and friends, if you want a life that's going to be on track and blessed, God will give that to you if you honor your parents and obey God's commands. Those who honor their parents can enjoy God's favor. In fact, God will make sure things go well for them, if not always in a material sense. Though that often, too, is the case, that materially, too, they will be blessed and prosper. But certainly, spiritually, those who live by God's will and those who come from homes where parents are honored and children are reared to love God and Christ will experience the favor of God. Those who follow God's blueprint for family life will be blessed. It will go well with them in the earth. It will go well with them in the land where God has placed them. How we can thank God this morning for Christian homes, for godly parents and godly children. Honor and love the Lord and each other. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning in a very special way for our families and for the way you have ordained them to be families where you are honored and praised. And also, Lord God, where you have called children to honor their parents and to respect them. And also to love and obey them. Oh, we thank you for Christian parents and Christian children. And we pray that you will help us. And despite our many failings, which we do have, O Lord, also as parents and as children, remove these failings and sins from us. And help us to recognize again this morning the blessing of this blueprint that you have established for your people, indeed for all of society, to obey this commandment that we've considered. May we live more and more faithfully according to it. And so thank you again this morning that we could be together here as families, as parents and children, to honor you, to worship you, worship your name. Continue to bless us throughout this day and throughout this week. May we indeed experience that promise that you have given us, that it will go well with us when we honor your name and serve you faithfully, and we will live long in the land. For Jesus' sake do we pray this. Amen.